Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad. I wasn't weeping, and I wasn't crying, I wasn't kicking, I wasn't resisting, I wasn't oshucksing. I wasn't saying, oh, do we have to leave now? It's still early. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach, power to preach, passion to preach. And may the Holy Spirit hover upon this place. Take the word read and the word spoken and use it to do a work in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I like church. It's one of my favorite places. Now, I like a lot of things. I like sweet tea. I like navy bean soup. I like barbecued ribs. I like a lot of stuff. But I like church better than any of them. I like church. And I'm always glad when it's time to go to church. I can't ever remember saying, oh man, I have to go to church today. I've never had that attitude since the day I got saved. I've always looked forward to going to church. Church attendance ought to be the highlight of your week. That ought to be a joyous time and a refreshing time. Every saved person washed in the blood of the Lamb ought to look forward to and be glad when it's church time. Now, I understand that there are some reasons why you might not be if you went to another church. The preaching might be bad somewhere else. you might go someplace else and folks might not be friendly. There's some reasons, you know, that I can see maybe some other people might not be as glad as we are. But we ought to be glad when it's time to go to church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to bring you a little message this morning. I don't even have a title for it, Tommy. You can just call it anything you want to. But I want to talk to you about this thought. Gladness in the house of the Lord. And I understand that this is a place a lot of times where we bring our sadness. This is where we bring our broken heart. This is where we bring our wounded spirit. But we come down here with that broken heart and that wounded spirit looking for solace, looking for comfort, looking to get the joy back in our life and to restore the gladness that we had before whatever tragedy it is overtook us. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, and I'll try and be brief because I don't want to be like Jack Hyde. I don't want to just take one point and just beat it to death. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to beat it up pretty good, but I'm not going to beat it to death. Amen. So let's just look at it for a few minutes and see if we can encourage ourselves about church attendance and what church is for and what we should be looking for in our experience at church. Now, I've observed that in life, expectation and outlook have a great deal of effect on how a thing affects us and how we respond to it. If we start with a positive attitude, if we are looking forward to it, if we are expecting to receive, then generally we get something. If, on the other hand, we go into an endeavor or a circumstance with a negative point of view, thinking it's a waste of time or it's a bore or I'm not going to get anything out of this, it's not going to be profitable, you're not apt to get near as much out of it. I'm not saying you don't get anything, but you'd have got a lot more most times if you'd had a better attitude about it when you started it. Amen. I've seen people, I talked to a fellow, it's been a couple years ago, but this guy was fixing to get married. And I would have advised this fellow not to get married. I would have certainly advised the woman he's going to marry not to marry him. This guy had the most negative attitude about marriage. He was always saying, well, if it don't work out, we can always get a divorce. Well, if it don't work out, we can always get a divorce. Well, if she don't do this, I'll just leave her. I thought, man, you're about halfway to the divorce court already, and you ain't got married yet. And he's always referring to her. And he wasn't even married to this girl yet, and he's already calling her the old lady. I mean, you ought to spend the first year calling her your bride or your sweetheart or sugar plum or pumpkin or something. Amen? This guy ain't even married. He's already calling her the old lady. I guarantee they're not going to make it. And if her attitude is bad as his, I don't know why they're wasting their time. They need to find somebody else. Amen? Now, I, on the other hand, I've seen folks go into marriage and they are blissfully over the top. I mean, they just think that the world is going to explode under their feet when they finally get married. That's going to be the capstone of their entire life experience. Well, it ain't that good either. I'll tell you that right now. But attitude sure has a lot to do with outcome sometimes, doesn't it? Attitude has a lot to do with approach. So I want to talk to us this morning about the house of the Lord, church attendance, meeting with God's folk. People say, well, you know, I can be a Christian and not go to church. Well, everybody knows that. I mean, you ain't exactly a rocket scientist because you figured that out. Did you have help or did you do it all by yourself? Well, I mean, you get saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, born into the family of God, and you saved and born into the family of God if you don't ever get baptized or go to church. You're just going to be lonely, miserable, ignorant, unlearned for the next 35 or 40 years. Amen? I've learned that most experiences are more enjoyable if there's somebody to share them with. We're social creatures. We like having folks around. The recluse is not the norm. He's the abnorm. Amen? We say, oh, he's a recluse, or he's the old man's weird, you know. Why? Because he doesn't mix with the rest of society. He doesn't enjoy other people's company. My wife had a sister. She was weird. She was pretty. She was intelligent. But she would rather be by herself than be with anybody. She didn't want a husband around. She didn't want her kids around. She didn't want family around. She didn't want... Well, I don't think she had any friends. She just wanted to sit there and watch her soaps. Sucking pale males. And everybody in the family thought, she's weird. No, I'll be honest with you. Everybody in the family knew she's weird. That's not normal. Amen? Now listen, when you get born into the family of God, you know what the normal thing is? Is want to find some other Christians. The normal response to being saved is, are there any more like me out there? Let's get together. Let's share our lives and our experiences and our conversions and our needs and our desires and our hopes and our heartbreaks and our sadness and our sorrow. I need somebody to help me make this trip. I don't want to go by myself. I will if I have to, but I don't want to. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me give you, I only have 4 points. This is the second shortest message I have in my Bible. Now, I do have 6 sub-points on point number 4, but I only have 4 points. Amen. So I can condense this. Number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Well, here's what some things I learned from that verse. Number 1, they had a place to gather. Amen? These folks would say, well, I don't believe in organized religion. Let me ask you a question. What do you believe in? Disorganized religion? What does a mob ever accomplish for good? If you don't have a place and a time, you know, if we don't have a church, if we don't get together, if we don't designate a spot where we can assemble and work out some things and do some things, what's ever going to become of Christianity? It's never going to do anything. It's never going to accomplish anything. We need a place for all us born-again folks to get together. This is the Christian social hall right here. You in it? Amen? Well, you know, the world today is, especially in education, they're consumed about socialization. Well, here we go, buddy. If you're saved, you've been born into the family of God, you've got a lot of Christian brothers and sisters, a lot of Christian friends, we need to have spend some time socializing. And we need a place. Well, we call that place the house of the Lord or the church. Amen? Now, I'm not into all these folks that are changing their churches into fellowships and all that stuff. We're going to stay a church. Amen? Because Christ bought the church with his own blood. He didn't buy our fellowship with his own blood. So we're going to stay a church. I want everybody to know what this place is. This is a church. This is where God's little young'uns come to get together. Amen? And so they said, let's go into the house of God. So they had a place together. They had built a structure. Somebody had got together and organized and collected and got resources and everybody invested, and they had a place they could meet. Thanks be to God, we got one of them. We've got this nice little building. I love this building. And I especially love this building that's paid for. Amen. Glory to God. I love things that are paid for, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. We got that deed, and it said it belongs to King James Baptist Church. I said, glory be to the Father. I never expected to pastor church all these years. I never expected to have a freestanding building. I spent half my ministry working out of storefronts. Amen. Man, we got a freestanding building. I thought I was an uptown preacher. I mean, I'm big time preacher now. And then we got that thing paid. And I walk around them fellas, they've got that $1 million notes on their church, you know, worrying about how much money come in this week, sweating it out. Man, I'm just sitting back on Easy Street. How's your church doing? Doing pretty good. Got a lot of members? Nope. Pretty much got the same old ones, though. We got a bunch of stickers around here. Amen. But we got us a place to meet. Amen. And it's a pretty nice little place. Number two, I read that verse, I said, not only did they have a place together, they had a time. He said, let's go under the house of the Lord. Well, everybody's going to meet down there at the same time. But this guy, and now his friend, he's invited, they're all going down to the house of God. At a designated, at a predetermined, pre-appointed time. Well, ain't no sense going down there and being married all by yourself. Amen. So we not only get us a place to meet, we publish and advertise the time when the church is going to get together. We say Sunday morning at 11 a.m. until. Amen. Now, a lot of them churches are saying 11 a.m. to 11:15 or 11 a.m. to 11:20. Now, we don't put that out. It's 11 a.m. until I get tired or y'all go to sleep. Or somebody says, oh, my roasted burning preacher, I got to go. We got a time. Everybody knows what time you're supposed to be at church, don't you? Well, let me advertise you of this. It's 11 a.m. on Sunday morning, and it is 6:30 p.m. on Sunday night and 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday. And if you're a member of that little group, a member of this little congregation, you decide to band with us, then you ought to make every reasonable effort to be here every time you possibly can and every time that door's open. Amen? Now, we're not going to meet at 11 a.m. this week and 10:45 next week and 9 o'clock next week. And you say, well, I just never know when they're going to get together. Man, we as steady as the sunrise. Going to be the same time every week. Amen? So we got a place to meet, and we got a time to meet. And then there has to be a reason or a purpose for us meeting. I have attended some meetings, and I've left that meeting wondering, why did they call that meeting? What was that supposed to be all about? You ever been to any of them? I mean, it was a mystery. Nobody told me what it was for, but I got there like I was told to do, and I sit there for an hour, and I'm leaving going, what did I miss? Amen? There ought to be a reason why we come together. If we're going to take our time out of our schedule and interrupt our normal life, take a shower and put on clean clothes and go down to the house of God, there ought to be something happening down there when you get there. Amen? I mean, who wants to come down here and fellowship a minute or two and hear a little sermonette and no point, no rhyme, no reason? And they say amen or amen or whatever it is, and everybody gets up and leaves, and nobody got blessed, nobody got edified, nobody got mad. Spurgeon used to send his preacher boys out, and they'd come back, and he'd say, nobody mad, nobody glad, nobody sad, no meeting. I mean, something ought to happen down here. There ought to be a purpose or a reason for our coming together at a set time in a particular place. Amen? So, well, preacher, what do we come together for? I come together to preach. I don't know what you're coming for. Well, let me spend some time in a minute. I want to talk to you about what we should expect when we get down here. And I'll be honest with you, if you're not getting that here, you probably ought to go find you someplace where you can get it. Now, I personally, this is just me personally, if you're not getting it here, it's because your heart's hard. That's between you and the Lord. I don't know. So there ought to be a purpose. There ought to be a reason. There ought to be something we're expecting that brings us to this place. We all have something in common. All of us are saved. I'm taking your word for it. We're all saved by God's amazing, marvelous, matchless grace. And we all live in the same old sin-cursed, hell-bound world that is not now, nor has ever been, nor ever will be, a friend of God's grace. So, we got some reasons for coming together. I'll put them under point number 4. The blessings of coming together. Church ought to be a blessing. Well, preacher, a lot of times our church is not a blessing because you skin everybody every time we come down here. Now, boys and girls, if y'all was doing right, I wouldn't be skinning you. Amen. The only people that think I skin you every time you come in here is the people that ain't doing what they ought to do. If you're doing right, you say, hey, amen, brother, sick them. Get them, preacher. Amen. That's like that old fella. He went to church, and every week, the preacher would be standing back there shaking everybody's hand when he left, and this old fella would come up. He said, boy, preacher, said, you got him today. Boy, you nailed him today. Every Sunday, the same old thing. Boy, preacher, you really laid it on him today. Well, one night, it was in the wintertime, it was snowing. Sunday evening service, the ground was covered with snow. It was terrible outside. Preacher standing in the pulpit waiting for the congregation. Church time came and nobody came but that one old man. And the preacher said, I got him. I'm going to fix him. So the old fella gets down there and sits down on the front pew. They sing a couple of verses of Amazing Grace, just the two of them. The preacher gets in a pulpit, opens the good book, and he preached for an hour and 15 minutes, and he hit everything he could possibly imagine. He preached on every sin, every fault, every shortcoming. I mean, buddy, he just laid it out. He missed nothing. He said, I got it. Preacher goes back to the back door to shake the hands of the people as they leave. The old boy puts on his hat, walks back there, and shakes the preacher's hand and said, preacher, said, if it had been here tonight, you'd have had him. Some people, it's just never to them. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, church ought to be a blessing. Not maybe not every single time. Or maybe not everything that happens in a service. But surely in an hour, you get a blessing from somebody or something, a song, a testimony, talking to a friend, or something out of a message. Surely, if you're looking for something to help you, you can find something in an hour's time. Amen? So let's talk about some of the blessings of gathering. Number one, we typically start our service with a song service. And one of the blessings of coming to church is that we can sing ourselves back into the joy in our heart. Amen? You get out in the world and you get worn down and you get weary and you go places, you hear stuff, and you hear language, and you hear whining, and you hear complaining, and you hear people's troubles, and all the stuff that's going on in the world. The world is sometimes a very depressing kind of a place. I don't think it's designed to cheer you up and make you feel good. And I know perfectly well that the news media and that kind of stuff, they don't cover the good stuff. They only cover the bad. Bad stuff sells. Amen. I don't know what it is. You ever note? I've been noticing this. You ever watch what people watch on TV if they're not watching football? They like them crime shows and them mysteries and Paula Zahn and all that stuff about people that got robbed or got killed or escaped from prison, I almost got away with it, you know. What's happy about any of that stuff? Even the cartoons, you know, it used to be like Mickey Mouse and the Roadrunner and Tweety Bird. I think I got a pretty cat. If I do it, I get a whooping. I do it. Those things were funny. Remember the guard dog and the coyotes attacking the sheep? And then lunchtime would come, they'd ring the dinner bell, and the coyote and the watchdog would lay down and open their lunchbox and talk about their wife and kids. I love that stuff. That's funny. You turn on them cartoons anymore, man. Darth Vader doesn't compare. I mean, it's all dark and heavy, and it's space invaders and supernatural powers, and I can't figure them things out anymore. I don't know what it is about the world. We like all that dark, dreary stuff. I want to be happy. Amen? And come down to sing the song of Zion ought to put a little bit of the joy back in your life. It ought to help you clear your mind. Come down and read those words and look at the thoughts behind them. Maybe remember the story that prompted that song to be written. Say, well, you know, preacher, our song service is not the most exciting in the world. It's better than no song service at all. Amen. And it'd be a lot better if you put more in it. Amen. If you sang with more joy, if you sang with more power, if you sang with more enthusiasm, if you could look down there and look at that song and say, I once was lost, but now I'm found, and the tears roll down your cheeks because you're thankful unto God. I bet that would add something to the song service and put some joy back in the service, don't you? The song service ought to be a joy to us. My wife saw something yesterday and she told me about it. I wrote it down because I liked it. It said, once lost, now found, thankful forever. I like that. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. I am saved, sealed, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on my way to glory. I am a child of the King. And buddy, I want to come down here, and when I sing them songs, maybe I don't have the best voice, and maybe I'm not as loud as I ought to be, but I'll tell you what, when I look at them words, they say something. They mean something. They stir a chord. They bring an emotion. And when you come down and sing those songs, you say, we sing the same ones over and over. Then get the same blessing over and over and over and over again. Don't quit. Come down looking for something. And when you sing those songs, don't just listen to see what everybody else is doing and how melodious we are. Are we on tempo? Are we on key? Look at the words and say, that's for me. That's a blessing in my heart. I'm saved. I once was lost. Now I'm found. Sing the joy of the Lord back into your heart. You got all week to get all messed up. Not only one of the blessings of gathering is to sing the joy of God back into our heart, but I go down to the house of God, I get a drink from the well and a bite from the cupboard. Amen. The Holy Spirit is like a well springing up. I come to this old book, and the well is open, and I can get me a drink. I get hungry and thirsty for the Word of God and fellowship with the Lord. That old book will feed my soul. It's bread and it's water. It's meat. It's whatever I need. There's honey in that old book. There's water in that old book. There's milk in that old book. That old book is a blessing to my soul. And when I come down to the house of God, if I get to preach, or Brother Louis gets to preach, or Brother Steve preaches, somebody take that old book and then open it up and say, let me show you what God laid on my heart. Let me show you what God showed me. Let me share with you the blessing that God gave me when I read that old book. I was reading it one night and I was thirsty, and God gave me a drink of cold water, and I was hungry and God fed my soul, and I want to share it with you. And he takes the bread and feeds the 5,000. And we come down here and our soul is blessed because God opened that blessed old book and made our hearts rejoice with the goodness of God Almighty. I come down here to get preached to. I come down here to rejoice in the things of God, to rejoice in the goodness of God. I come down here to take my licks when I need them. Amen. I like the house of God. I'm glad that I get to go to church. Not only do I sing myself back into the joy of my heart, I get a drink from a book. I worship with my family. Now, my wife's family is all gone. Her mama, her daddy, her sister, her brother, and her last sister all died in about 5 years. She didn't have anybody left. And she misses family. So we go see Samantha most Sunday afternoons, have lunch with them. That's about the only time we get to see them during the week. Every now and then we get the kids over for a little while. Special occasions every now and then. But she just loves that family time, because she misses family, and it's a comfort to her. And she likes to fellowship with them and hear their stories and see what they're doing and where they're going, and then you worry about them because you find out what they're doing and where they're going. Somebody say amen. Every now and then they'll come to church with us. Last Easter, Samantha and her husband and the kids showed up, and we had them here for the service. My wife sat there and cried all through church. I said, what are you crying about, sweetheart? She said, I just had the kids here. It's just a blessing. They're not all we want them to be. They're not perfect. They're just like yours. But they're ours. Amen. And you love them. And there's just something special to my wife about having her youngin, her grand youngins in church with her, to come and worship with her. I thought about that. I'm worshiping with my family this morning. This is my brother. That's my sister. And my wife and my lover. And that's my brother and my sister. Elder sister. Younger brother. And we come down here and lift up our hearts to God and worship together. Every Sunday, our family gets together down at the church house. What'd you come down here for? Come down here. One of the reasons I came down here to worship with my family. Amen. I like to look out there and see all my brothers and my sisters. Spend some time in that old book. Spend some time remembering and rejoicing, talking one to another. You know, I try to flit about most of the time. I try not to let one person captivate me. I hate people that do that. I like to talk to Louis for a minute. But I don't spend all my time talking to Louis. Not that he's not interesting, he is. But I need to spend a little bit of time with Steve. Well, you shouldn't want to spend all your time with me. Sometimes you want to talk to John. We're family. We're to talk to each other. Amen. This morning I talked to Tommy, I talked to Bruce, I talked to Steve, I talked to John, I talked to you. I don't spend a lot of time with the ladies, just because y'all are girls. And I don't know how y'all think. But then we come in here, and the atmosphere changes a little bit. And collectively, as the family of God, we worship. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a blessing? How many people would just give anything to have family around and to be blessed and to enjoy their presence and to enjoy their company? And I like to come down here because I'm glad when they say, let's go into the house of the Lord, because I get to worship with my family. I'll tell you something else. I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord, because I get to fellowship with my friends. Amen. Before church, before we come in here and worship, we fellowship. Now, I'm not against fellowship. Now, I don't think you ought to build a church around fellowship. And I would never want to pastor a church called Fellowship Baptist Church, because I think people get the wrong idea about why we was coming together. I wouldn't mind pastoring a church named Preach It Baptist Church or something like that. You know. But don't you enjoy coming down? And I haven't seen Louie in a week now. Well, since Wednesday. He's been all over the countryside. He's done all kind of stuff. I want to hear about it. You say, well, it was nothing big, nothing exciting, nothing major happened. Well, I know that. We're just ordinary folks. I'm not looking for the great and the spectacular. Most of us just live ordinary lives. So the things we're going to talk about are just ordinary stuff. But I like that. Because most of the time, if we're not talking about ordinary stuff, we're talking about somebody with cancer or somebody had a wreck and got killed. Thank God for the ordinary stuff. But I like that. I like to find out what John's been up to. His mother would like for him to get up to something. And just, yeah, I believe that. But you understand what I'm saying? You say, well, I don't like so-and-so. Well, they don't ever talk to me. Will you ever talk to them? The Bible said he that would have friends must show himself friendly. Well, if they ever make the first move, well, why don't you make the first move? Maybe they ain't made the first move because that scowl you got on your face. You look like if they spoke to you, you'd bite their hand off. Amen? The only person around here gets to do that's me. We ought to come together and have some fellowship. What we've been up to, what we're expecting to do, talk about our kids, talk about our grandkids. I find out where they got that nice new dress they're wearing. Then you go home and talk about, oh, she paid way too much for that thing. I saw that thing at Walmart for half of that. I'm glad to come down to the church house because we get to sing about the Lord and we get to eat and drink from the fountain. We get to worship with the family. We get to fellowship with friends. I get encouraged in the way. You know, one of the big things about coming to church, you understand that after a while, you're not going to learn any great new truths. Us preachers, we only know so much. And after a while, we've told you everything we know and made up something. So then we start reruns. You can watch them on TV, but nobody wants them at church. Dr. Howell should say he had 20 subjects that he preached on. He just redressed them. There's a lot of truth in that. You ladies cook dinner. After a while, you run out of new things to cook, don't you? I mean, you've done the pork chops, and you've done the cube steak, and the country fried steak, and you done the chicken four different ways. Amen. What's for dinner tonight? I don't know. I can't think of nothing. You're going to serve the same old thing. I got a brand new recipe. This is the 29th way I know how to fix chicken. And you know what I found out about all them ways? When you get through with it, chicken still tastes just like chicken. Okay, so it's not always going to be new and exciting and all that. Now, more so here than anywhere else, though. Okay. But that's not exactly why you come. That's nice when you get a little nugget and a little tidbit every now and then, or get reminded of something that maybe you've let it slip before. But one of the reasons we come down here is to be encouraged in our walk for the Lord. Out there in the world, you're not going to get encouraged to live for God. You're going to be discouraged for living for God. The world doesn't love the Lord. They're no friend of grace. And they don't want to hear all your spiritual rhetoric. They don't want to hear all your Christian lingo. They don't even want you making gestures. Amen? So I come down here to get encouraged. When I see other people that are still living for God year after year after year, they're consistent, they're faithful, they're determined, they're dedicated, and they're in the way, they're in the fight, they made up their mind, and bless God, they're marching to the celestial city, and they will not turn to the right hand nor to the left. That's an encouragement. Amen? Coming to church ought to encourage you to keep on keeping on living for God. Let me close with this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, one of the blessings that I get from coming here, I refresh my love for my Lord. You know, the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about Him. Now, we are concerned with our pilgrimage, and how we're going to fare, and we get bogged down with the issues of life, and I understand all that. Life is a thorn in your flesh. Then why do we do it? Why do we take our time that we could use someplace else, our money we could spend someplace else? Why do we put up with some of the ridicule? Why do we deny ourselves certain things and going certain places? Why do we do that? Because of Him. And if I don't spend some time with Him, if I don't fellowship with Him, if I'm not around brothers and sisters that love Him and encourage me to be faithful to Him, my love grows dim. My heart grows cold. One of the functions of church is to help you keep your love for the Lord alive. The more time I spend with my wife, just me and her, the closer we get. Most of the time. She got to where she's real testy sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? You have to spend time with somebody to be familiar with them and comfortable with them. Young people get married and they think they are madly in love. I hear them say all the time, I've met the love of my life. They don't know what they're talking about. But they've got to say it some way. They've met the love of their life. Now listen, I got married one time. She was the love of my life. I'm still married to her. She's still the love of my life. And young marriage and young love was absolutely wonderful. I recommend I could sell marriage door to door. But now we're 50 years down the road. There ain't much mystery left. There's not much unknown left. We know each other backwards and forward, inside out. She knows what I'm going to think before I think it. It's only going to get worse. But you know what I found with that? I don't find that boring or disturbing. You know what I found in that? I found a richness and a closeness and a comfort that I didn't experience or know about when we first got married. Because I know her so well, so intimately, so because I have known her and proven her and now trust her and rely on her, I'm at ease with her. There's a certain comfort and relaxedness, if that's a word, about marriage after 30 or 40 years that you don't have when you've been married 6 weeks, 6 months. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I've been saved 39 years. I know the Lord, and the Lord moves me. But we're getting more comfortable with each other, more relaxed, more confident as the days go by. And I don't want that to die. I don't want that to diminish. I don't want it to get cold. A couple weeks ago, I found this little thing in the newspaper, and I clipped it out, and I put it on that door back there. And it's a man and his wife talking. And he's saying, or she's saying, I can't remember, I don't know which one was talking, I couldn't see their lips move. But one of them said, one of them said, when the kids get grown, they'll leave and it'll just be you, us two. And the other one responds, when we first started, it was just us two. Amen. Now listen, I'm in the waning years. I mean, I still hope I got a few left. But anybody with any sense knows at 67 you're on the downhill side. I do not want my love for my wife to be colder than at its hottest moment. I want it to be as warm and as real and as comforting and as reassuring as it has ever been. And if I live to be 80 or 90 and she's still around, I still want to have that same tenderness and that same compassion and that same emotional response every time I look at those big blue eyes. Now, I've got to work to make that happen. I've got to purpose that I'm not going to let it fall apart. I'm going to do whatever's necessary to maintain that feeling, that relationship. And that's exactly what I have to do with God. You can fall out of love with God if you don't spend some time with Him, if you don't spend some time with the family, if you don't stay close, if you don't stay intimate, if you don't get a personal relationship, if you don't have some bonding, if you don't share some experiences, that love won't always be what it once was. If you want to finish your course, run your race, and fight a good fight, and end up still in love with Jesus Christ, you have got to make up your mind that you're going to do what's necessary. And one of those things is you've got to be glad when they say it's time to go into the house of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. And Lord, You know that we are thankful that we have this place together. And we're grateful that we have a time at which to gather. And we have our purpose in gathering. But I pray, oh God, we might experience the blessing of gathering. Help these Thy people, help me, Thy servant, to truly be glad when they say unto us, let us go unto the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.